We're now recording. Blah blah blah.
Chrono trigger.
Cut to the intro.
No.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Bit Boys Podcast, episode 8.
Something that I was going to point out is that I always say webisode. You still say episode when you upload them. What's up with that?
Yeah, I actually tweeted about that just a few minutes ago. I was like, show, episode, webisode. We should probably decide on that.
I've been saying webisode every time.
Yeah, I've been inconsistent, so...
And, you know, well, not with the uploading. You've been uploading as episode all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's because that's what Podomatic was calling it.
Regardless, this is BitBoys Webisode 8. I'm Faison Chaos.
And I'm Kaleos.
And as usual, I'll start with what we've been playing, so I'll let you go ahead.
All right. Well, I'll start with the slightly less exciting. This week, I finally got into playing NetHack. For those of you who don't know, it's a roguelike, which is based on the really, really old game from 1980, I believe, called Rogue. And NetHack is based off of, like, the monsters and classes and everything are based off of D&D, the original, and you play through this dungeon crawl. The original version was purely text for all the characters, like, your character is a little at symbol, and you move around.
Whoa.
Yeah, and, like, the map is made out of, like, a slight gradient for each square of, like, each character space, basically.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and, like, the J's, lowercase D's are, like, dogs and wolves and jackals. And I talked to my brother, and he said the only problem with that, like, playing with the original version, which is, like, the hardcore old-school style where it's nothing's got that,
okay,
is that the Dwarven Kings and the Mind Flayers both have the same color and symbol. So you could either end up trying to talk to a Mind Flayer or attacking a Dwarf King. It's kind of hard to tell. Unless you specifically go and take your turn to look at it.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you can have everything randomly selected. The version I'm playing is a newer one, so it actually has two different modes you can play on. One with the original graphics and one that has a tile set with it, actually. Which is
okay.
Kind of nice.
That's cool.
There's also an iPod iPhone app called iNetHack, which sort of combines the two. It's got a tile set, but you as the character are still the at symbol, and some of the things are still letters, but they look nice.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really fun. I was playing that in class a lot yesterday, and
nice.
With other people, and then I got the iPod version just to try it out. There's a lot of commands to memorize, though, because it's, like, really old, so we're talking, like, text commands for everything.
Okay.
Got lots of replayability because of all the randomization, and
that's true.
Yeah, like yesterday I was playing with two friends and we got this crazy thing where I started off as a wizard and I got two rings given to me in my initial inventory. One of them was a regeneration, so every time I took a step I gained one health.
Nice.
And everything else moves only when you move, so it's like turn and everything takes
turn. That's what I usually think of when I think of a roguelike.
Yeah, I normally do too. It was just my brother talking that one time that made me think otherwise slightly. But I got that, and then I also got a ring of polyself or something. So it would polymorph me randomly every number of steps. And so I turned into like a wraith. So I'm like, okay, what if I take off the ring now? And then I just stayed in that form for like a good chunk of time until eventually it wore off.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was just like, I'm a regenerating stone golem walking around killing things. It was so fun. Yeah, so that's the first thing I played this week. Overall, great game. Free downloads that you can find for it, so just like search it up on Wikipedia and you can find it if you want to try it out. How about you?
I've been playing a bit more of Phoenix Wright Justice for All on WiiWare. I have one case left to do with that, and I've been having just as much fun with that as I was with the original. Although, it is kind of funny and kind of bad, because I have noticed a few grammatical and spelling errors throughout the game.
Ooh.
And when it's a mostly text-based game, it's kind of like...
Someone didn't check, or
yeah,
double check, or used spell check and forgot that it picks up words that are right in the wrong place.
Oh, but yeah, it is a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying that. And I have also been playing a crapload of Chrono Trigger, which I'm playing right now. I'm trying to go through and get all 13 endings. I have 8 of them so far. There are 12 in the original game for the SNES and the when it was re-released on the PlayStation, but in the DS version there is a new ending that requires beating some of the additional areas before you can access it. And it's actually a different final boss, apparently.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
The regular Lavos.
I also played like some Mario and Luigi, but only like for a day or two, so not worth mentioning.
And have I played anything else this week? I think that's actually all I played this week. I didn't end up playing any of my Earthbound playthrough this week, unfortunately.
Well, of course, as we mentioned last week, we all know what big name game came out. Final Fantasy 13, and luckily it's for the Xbox 360 now, so I got that. And I was working the day that I went and bought it, which was over on Wednesday, so I managed to squeeze in an hour and a half after work, and then another half hour in the morning before I had to head to class. And then I came home from classes yesterday and kind of spent the rest of the evening playing.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how much time do you have logged in that now?
I think it's close to 5 hours.
Nice.
Maybe more, because like, I had to take a break for dinner and walk my dog.
Yeah.
It actually takes 3 hours in before you finally get the leveling system, which is really cool, and magic. Up until that point, you're stuck with like basic attacks and some special attacks.
Whoa.
Like, I was still doing tutorials after 3 hours.
Wow.
I think when I hit 4 hours, I finally got Shiva, which I must agree with the colleague at work. I think it's really weird, because Shiva is two people. They're the Shiva sisters. They each have, like, a different name.
What?
And they turn into a motorcycle.
What?
Yeah.
What the hell?
And so I had to fight one of them, and she kept throwing a tire at me. It was this, like, they were all stylized and weird, and it looked really weird. And then I realized once they transformed that I'm surprised people haven't started making jokes about that. Because, you know, you've got two girls, like, morphing together and then some guy riding on top of them. So, I'm sure it's open for comments there.
Are they still at least, like, some sort of ice summon?
They're ice-based, as far as I know. I haven't actually used them yet, because you switch between the parties.
Okay.
Because for some reason, they split the party. Evidently, they haven't played much D&D. Yeah, and so I finally got the summons there. And the thing is that they cast Doom on you, so countdown starts ticking, and I was like, oh crap, and then I died the first time. Second time, I was like, come on, why haven't I beaten them? And then the third time, I did it again, and then I realized I had to press X to, like, complete the, like, agreement with them or whatever so I could summon them later. I kind of forgot about that the second time and just ended up dying.
Oh.
It was kind of sad afterwards. Overall, though, graphics are great, because we're talking, like, Xbox-quality graphics and PS3-quality, of course, for the PS3.
Yeah.
The game actually comes on 3 discs for the Xbox, which kind of makes it feel like the old PlayStation 1 games with the multi-disc Final Fantasies.
Oh, it seems really weird having a, like, multi-disc game this generation.
Oh, yeah. But then again, the Blu-rays hold, like, 20 gigs, so...
Yeah.
They gotta match that on the Xbox, which doesn't have Blu-ray. Gameplay's really fun. It's kind of weird at first. It's an active time battle system, which is cool.
Yes, I prefer that over just plain old turn-based.
Yeah, like, at first I was kind of like, I kind of would have liked the turn-based, but then I've grown accustomed to it, and finally I got more options after playing for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. The other thing is, at the moment, and I believe for the rest of the game, I can only control the party leader. And first I didn't like that idea, but now I realize that it's complicated enough as is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, okay, I'll finish talking about a couple of other things first. Voice quality, all the actors are really good. Some of them have done anime roles. Almost all of the main party members have big names for them. Like, they've done tons of things. Like, one of them did stuff in Mass Effect, Mass Effect 2. Some people have done, like, a dozen different games already. So it's pretty good.
I forget which character it was. I think there's someone that I saw a lot of people, like, being annoyed about their voice or something.
Was it male or female?
Female.
Was it Vanille?
Yeah.
She's got this Australian accent, and she kind of speaks in a broken sentence structure, where she'll talk, and then she'll pause, and then she'll talk again, and she kind of seems like an airhead, too.
Okay. Yeah, like I think I saw, like, some open field join, like, a Facebook group or something, like, I hate Vanille's English voice actor.
Yeah, I don't know, it's not that bad, it's just kind of like a I guess we know who's the dumb one in the party. Yeah. No, she's not actually that dumb. It's just a couple of times you kind of wonder. Speaking of which, the party's pretty good. It kind of, at first, it's separate parties, and they all merge because of this one character. Yeah, and Snow is really cool. He's the... His weapon is actually his coat. Like, that's what you upgrade when you give him new items.
Wait, what?
Yeah, his coat, like, it's got an emblem on the back, and it gives him better power or something. I don't really know.
That's kind of weird, but kind of cool.
Yeah.
Is he, like, the guy with the blonde hair?
Yeah, blonde hair. Okay. He's huge. And you guys know that everyone gets magic eventually and whatnot. So, like, yeah, he gets the ice magic, of course.
That would make sense.
Yeah, considering the name. And Lightning casts Thunder.
Ooh, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Lightning, I'm not a fan of so far. She pretty much is a female Cloud Strife. Like, the opening sequence of the game starts on a train. And then you find out she's an ex-soldier. So I'm kind of like, where did I get this idea from? Overall, though, it's still really good. Music is good. I need to listen to more of the OST, though, to find out stuff. And favorite character, I would have to say, is actually Chocobo.
Wait, what?
Because Chocobo is this little baby Chocobo chick. Its name isn't Chocobo. And it lives in Saz, who's the black guy, and he's got an afro, and it lives in his afro. It is just amazing. Then I finally got they do a data log system where you can read up on stuff, and I went and read up on Chocobo chick, and it said that it's not its real name, but that's because if you spoke its true name, it would, like, unravel the fabric of time, space, and the world.
What?
Or, you know, Saz just hasn't come up with one yet. And I read that and just burst out laughing for a good minute. And, yeah,
pretty good.
It's popped up once or twice. When Saz was trying to climb up something, it popped over his hair in the cutscene, just sort of, like, waved him along. It does little things like that, and he talks to it. It's amazing.
Cool.
And they've taken from the Final Fantasy X system, and are doing some cool stuff with leveling. And also, what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh yeah, the paradigm shift system is similar to 12's Gambit system, but not entirely. I've spent a long time talking about this. I'll save this for the another time, since I'll be talking about it more later for sure.
Alright.
Yeah, that's pretty much taken up all my gaming time this week, though.
Okay,
anything else for you, or should we be moving on to...
Really?
Okay,
coming up next week, we have a few games coming out.
Was God of War 3 next week?
Yes, God of War 3,
March
16th, next week.
Right?
16th, I believe so. That's on the PS3 only.
Yep.
That should be pretty good.
I think there's some exclusive stuff if you pre-order it, too.
Probably. And then on Sunday, we also have Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver coming out. Those will be perfect money milkers for Nintendo.
Oh yeah. And good for people who didn't have a Game Boy Color back in the day.
Yeah, I'm probably just gonna ask for Soul Silver for my birthday. I can wait. I'm not super excited about those, but should be enjoyable because I did enjoy those particular versions of the Pokemon games. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Fragile Dreams, Farewell to the Ruins of the Moon, I think is the subtitle. It's like a adventure RPG sort of game on the WiiWare.
Okay.
No, not WiiWare, on the Wii. Comes out on the 16th as well. It's basically, you have this guy in a post-apocalyptic world, and you're trying to find other people.
Okay, cool.
Because, like, at the beginning of the game, I think there's, like, some old guy who is presumably his grandpa, but then he dies. So then the game is basically about, you're playing as this kid, I think he's like 14 or something, and he's basically just trying to find other people, and it's like an extremely, a really atmospheric game. I've heard some of the music from it, and it is absolutely fantastic. I'm looking forward to that game. I'm going to be picking that up.
Sweet. Yeah, so since we mentioned it last week, we'll transition into news with some stuff about the GDC, Game Developer Conference, is it? Conference Convention. Conference. And they had their Game Developer Choice Awards last night, which I was watching. So might as well just give you guys some info on what happened there. Game of the Year / Best Game was Uncharted 2 Among Thieves. That game actually won 5 different awards tonight, yesterday. It also won, what was it? Best in Audio, Excellence in Audio.
Best Technology.
Best Technology. Excellence in Visual Arts.
And Excellence in Writing.
Yep. And then some other interesting ones. The handheld game of the year was Scribblenauts.
Scribblenauts, that was a fun game, but I don't know, I was kind of disappointed with it. I was definitely one of the people that overhyped it, because I was... I lost interest in it really quickly.
Mm. Best debut game, which used to be like the New Studio of the Year award, but they've changed the name. It's Runic Games for their game Torchlight, which I've talked about and love. Downloadable game was Flower for the PS3. I looked into it a bit. It seemed kind
of
cool.
Yeah, I heard someone was talking about it on one of the other podcasts I listened to, and it sounded kind of neat. Like, very just sort of like sit down, kind of chill out.
Yeah, I was watching the awards, and they pretty much had their entire team up there, I think, because it was like 20 people or something. And the guy said that he went in on like a Sunday. It wasn't a crunch time, he just wanted to work on the game, honestly. And he said that that was also the day that his girlfriend broke up with him, but then the game went and made him feel really happy.
When you said 20 people, you're talking about like being a small team?
Yeah.
Because apparently Braid was made by only 3 people.
That's
like,
intense.
That's the Xbox Live Arcade game, you know, where it's like,
yeah,
you can use time control to like go back and stuff.
Yeah,
apparently that game was made by only 3 people.
I
just heard that, I think it was yesterday or something. I was kind of like, wait, what?
Wow. This was a new award this year. It was Best New Social / Online Game. Farmville won it. I don't really like how Farmville counted as that much of a game, because it's like on Facebook, to count as a Best New Social Game. But that's my opinion.
I do not approve.
Yeah.
Stupid Farmville.
Excellence in Game Design was
Arkham Asylum, because I can actually pronounce it.
Batman Arkham Asylum.
I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Arkham, not Arkham.
It could be Arkham. It could be Ham from the Ark. Who knows?
I don't think so. Anyways, that was a pretty fun game. I played it a little bit at my friend's house.
Game Innovation Spotlights was Scribblenauts. Lifetime Achievement Award went to John Carmack, who did the Doom series. The Pioneer Award was for Gabe Newell, who worked on... He moved from Microsoft to work on the Quake series, I believe. And the Ambassador Award was to Jerry Holkins, Mike Kraholik, and Robert Koo, which is the team behind Penny Arcade. At least part of it. It's not the entire team, but they're the guys who made it out. And one thing I thought was great was when Mike came out, he said, "Wow, I was scared that Uncharted 2 was going to win this one too." But yeah, so that was great, because I'm a big fan of Penny Arcade. So good to see them out there. And that's all that we had for this year. I guess we should have mentioned at the beginning, but for those of you who don't know, the GDC Awards are basically like the Academy Awards, but for video games. Because they're actually voted by everyone in the industry. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
But pretty much all of our news comes from GDC this week. For instance, Bungie. We've got them. They went down to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and has a trademark for something called Bungie Aerospace. It has a sphere with a triangle with a circle in the middle with a ring around it, sort of like Saturn. We don't really know what it's for. It,
could be a new game. Could be a new game engine.
Yeah. It's up for speculation. There's been a couple of things that they mentioned about. Like, it's basically going to revolve around computers and computer games, which includes consoles in this case. So we don't really know what it's going to be for, but we know that they've got a new trademark, so that's always interesting.
Bungie Aerospace.
Yep. Yeah.
Then we also had Sony showing off the final, or presumably final version of their motion controller, which is officially called the PlayStation Move, and it looks like a wireless Wii Remote and nunchuck.
Yeah, and the nunchuck part, it's called the sub-controller.
And it has an analog stick and a trigger button, and they're describing the wand part with the huge, odd-looking, glowing ball on the end, and it has an analog trigger on the back, a big main button on the front, and the standard PlayStation face buttons.
Yeah. So, I wonder where they got that idea. But, look, it's even got a little wrist strap on it. And it's black this time.
Ooh.
But yeah. You know, if they do good stuff with it, that's good. Apparently it's really accurate.
Yeah, that's what I had heard.
All of the statements so far on their first opinion from people seems to be, we'll see what happens with it, because right now it seems cool, just like the Wii was cool, but what software are they going to use with it? Like,
yeah.
Are there going to be cool games? Because that's what makes or breaks technology.
Pretty much.
When it comes to video games. Another piece of news. Electronic Arts and 38 Studio have been working on a new role-playing game called Project Mercury. And apparently they have R.A. Salvatore, who's a big name in fantasy literature. He's serving as the executive creator of Worlds at 38 Studios. And at the GDC, he was talking about a talk titled From Franchise to Fantasy, How to Build a Universe Worthy of Devotion. Because he's made these amazing worlds before. He pretty much came up with Drow Society for Forgotten Realms and Dungeons & Dragons. He loves EverQuest. That's his example he keeps talking about. But we'll have to see. He talked a lot about Copernicus, because he created the universe for that. And
what exactly is Copernicus?
It's this other MMO. I only looked into it today because I read about it. Copernicus is, I don't think it's out yet, actually. It's a preview still. They got some guys from Marvel, Todd McFarlane.
Okay, yeah, the creator of Spawn.
Yeah.
And I think he also designed a character for Soul Calibur 2.
Oh, did he?
Can't remember the name.
But
Necrid, I think?
That's 38 Studios' game coming up, apparently, is being designed by him. And then the world and background and history and everything is created by Salvatore. So, as far as I understand. So we'll see how that goes.
That could be kind of cool.
Yeah. Apparently Dragon Age Origins 2. If you bought Dragon Age Origins Awakening, there was a little pamphlet inserted. Well, a piece of paper, I think. Inserted that had the iconic red dragon they've got in there with the date February 1st, 2011. So, it sounds like they're planning on releasing the sequel then.
I guess Awakening was just
it was like an expansion or something.
Yeah.
Oh, and since we've mentioned the grinder for the Wii, and how it was no longer just for the Wii, a couple of weeks ago now, there's actually been some more information on that. Apparently they've been diverging from that on the Xbox and PS3 versions, at least, because they released some video at GDC just this week. It had a playable version for the 360, and it wasn't a first-person shooter like we'd said at all. Instead, it's more of like a gauntlet clone, kind of like a top-down shooter. It's a dual stick, so you use one to move around and one to shoot everywhere. It's all four players on the same screen. And yeah, the gameplay looked interesting, and if it's anything like Gauntlet, Gauntlet Legends, the arcade version, or Dark Legacy, I know that it should be tons of fun, because I love those games.
Yeah, so do I, but although one of the things that they have not mentioned is what's happening with the Wii version of the game. It might still be staying as a first-person shooter, or it might be changing to this new style. We don't actually know.
Yeah. We'll just have to see the reasoning behind it, as far as we understand, is that they don't really want to throw in another shooter onto the big two consoles because of how many there are already, so they'd have to compete with everything else.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Wii, they'd be one of the few.
Especially since it is a similar sort of idea to Left 4 Dead 2, just with monsters instead of zombies, so they would be competing with that, which already has quite the big driving force behind it.
Oh, yeah. And the other big thing that we have time for right now is Brink First Look. It's another shooter, and it's the gameplay is apparently from like pre-alpha build, so we're not sure, or sorry, not pre-alpha, not sure which build it's coming from, but it seems to be a post-apocalyptic kind of thing again. They've seemed to be really popular these last 2 years.
Less cartoony Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, it's got this thing where they're using a single button and it'll sort of, it'll change its meaning depending on what's nearby. That's about it. It looked really cool. I'd suggest watching the trailer for it.
But yeah, that definitely looks like a less cartoony Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, like you could just say, oh, that's the spy.
And then one other thing, actually, that I'd like to mention is with the GDC, the Hitoshi Sakamoto, that's the guy who did a lot in creating the original Metroid. He didn't actually make it. He actually was saying that he can't be credited with it all for himself, but he had a keynote speech, actually, and he was talking about like different stuff he's done, and talked about Other M a bit, and he was saying that at first they were kind of looking at making it like sort of like a Famicom Plus sort of game, like
Oh yeah,
which is the Japanese name for the NES, just sort of like starting with what they had, and then like just sort of adding in the added directions and stuff, and the new graphical power, since obviously much more upgraded than what the NES was like. So he actually hasn't worked on a console game since Super Metroid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but he's like heading up stuff with Other M on the Nintendo side of things. So.
Okay. And unfortunately, we don't have time to read our mail from this week, though we did get a response for last week's question. So this week it's my turn for the question of the week, which is also slightly a bit of discussion, which would be, how other platforms are sort of emerging for gaming, which is like, you know, like the iPod and the iPhone, same thing, same with the iPad, like they're all the same thing. But like Apple is trying to emerge on that handheld market. Like there was nominees from the iPhone for Game of the Year for handheld, and then like Farmville and stuff like that with the social networking sites. Like, I don't know. I guess question-wise, it would be sort of, do you agree that these should be included in gaming, or should they be separate, or how much of an effect do they have on the gaming industry? Because, like, you look at Farmville, and then you compare it to, like, Crysis 2, and there's a big difference.
I definitely don't agree with people counting like the iPhone and iPod Touch and whatnot as being like competing gaming consoles in comparison to like the DS and the PSP.
Yeah.
Like, and I will admit there are definitely some very interesting looking games on there, but the thing is, like, they are not gaming centric devices. Like, if someone wants to get something handheld to play games on, they're not going to get an iPhone or an iPod Touch. They're going to get the DS or a PSP.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. And then, like, the Facebook games, like, sure, it seems that there's actually a lot of money that people put into making these things, apparently, but at the same time, it's kind of like, it's on another website. It's not even, like, I haven't even played Farmville, so I guess I can't speak from experience.
And the notifications are annoying as hell on Facebook.
Yeah. I don't know. Personally, I'm not a fan of that. And, like, I guess it's got the whole social thing involved, so that's why I won the award this year. But I don't really think it should be, like, included that much in the gaming industry.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem to have its place quite yet there. Random thing that I just thought of, though. was I was looking through the Future Shop flyer today, and I noticed that they are now selling 3D TVs.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about that down at the Consumer Electronics Show.
Hearing that apparently, actually, this summer, the World Cup for soccer is going to be broadcast in 3D.
Ooh.
So if you have one of those TVs, you'll be able to be watching the World Cup in 3D.
Yeah. It's not like 3D's news for gaming, though, because, like, way back, wasn't even the Virtual Boy, or no, not Virtual Boy,
You're thinking the Nintendo console?
Yeah,
Failed miserably?
Yes.
That was the Virtual Boy.
Virtual Boy. I was thinking Visual Boy, and then, like, that's wrong. Anyways, yeah, like, it's not like that's anything new for gaming, but, you know, if they start doing even bigger stuff like that, with better graphics in 3D, because I think we're just a bit ahead of the time then.
Yeah, and, like, apparently inducing, like, massive headaches from playing for over half an hour.
Yeah, but playing Crysis in 3D, now that would be fun. And, yeah, so just drop us a line over at contact.bit.boys@gmail.com if you want to answer the question. Pretty much, if you want to summarize it, sort of, what is your opinion on Facebook and social networking games and iPod games as part of the gaming industry? And for the random section, do you have anything this week?
This week our random section will be...
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think our random section this week is that we're going to...
Scene 1, Apple 2.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode.
This is the Bit Boys podcast for
Friday
March
12th.
12th?
Yep.
That is today. Yeah, so thanks for
listening.
See you all next week.